Well, I'm going to jump in today, and I know Pastor Greg, I'm assuming, shared, but I'm going to kind of backtrack through. We're teaching on the motto of the church, and this is at the direction of the Holy Ghost. All three of us, you know, we're just home minding our own business. This was 2-3 weeks ago. I'm home Saturday late at night, and I hear, start teaching on the motto. And I went, huh, well, I'll do it next Sunday. I had some notes and things prepared. And so I started, and then when I was up here, the last time I was up here, on my way home, I called Pastor Enrique, and I said, hey, brother, how's it going? You know, we're talking about, he's telling me about food and tacos and things, you know, so got me all excited. So he said, you know, he started sharing about the motto to me. And he said, you know, the Holy Ghost spoke to me last night and said, I'll start teaching on the motto. I said, really? He told me the same thing. I said, when? Saturday night. I said, oh, okay. And then in the office during the week, I shared it with Pastor Greg, and he just looked at me and he smiled and he said, that's interesting, because I was home Saturday night and the Holy Ghost said the same thing. He said, I want you to start teaching on the motto. And he said, I was, you know, going, well, what am I going to... So all the Holy Ghost spoke to all three of us independently to start teaching on the motto of the church. Anytime God tells you to do something, there's a purpose. There's a reason. And one of the things, you know, of course, you know, looking at all of the various scriptures and things that I'm familiar with along this line, He wants us to be prepared, because all you have to do is look at what's going on in society, and it's getting darker and darker and darker and more tense, and we see what's going on with the hatred towards, this is just, you know, when it calls ethnos, you know, when it talks about in the scripture, ethnos against ethnos, which is really people against people. Now you have tribe against tribe. You have people, you know, and if people want to go back and look at history, there really was no country of Palestine. You can go back and look at the history. And so, you know, without getting into all of that, now we got people that hate the Jews, and it's just stirred up. It's a mess. And it's the devil, because it's John 10:10. I mean, you know, what do we go through here? We went through a period even in this country with just, you know, people hating people, whatever it is. You know, hating people because of what you stand for, whether it's politics or whether it's your color, they hate you just for that. And the devil is the thief. And he is what? He wants to steal and to kill and destroy. And when you look at that, destroy what? Destroy unity, destroy fellowship, destroy communication, destroy people's livelihoods. When people go and burn up stuff, they're destroying livelihoods. They're destroying. So that's the devil. That's just pure and simple. And so the church has a role in this, where we need to do what? Walk in the authority that we have. And sometimes people say, well, what the heck can I do? You know, how am I supposed to handle that? Well, the scripture is very clear that you're far above all of that. You're seated with Christ in God. And you're seated in heavenly places far above it. And what are we supposed to do? Pray. It says our warfare. It says we wrestle not. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness. So when we see things that just disturb us and we go, that's not right, then we need to pray about it. We need to take the authority. He gave us Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If you see stuff going on in your neighborhood up here, you need to take authority over it. Say, no, no, you're not coming in here. No, this junk's not coming in here. No, I mean, down in Nanuet, when you come out of our facility there, you go right across the street and you have about a couple hundred people standing with American flags and Israeli flags. And then you go about 200 feet, no more than 200 feet, and you got a whole nother group of people, probably 100, 200, with Palestinian flags, just shouting and carrying on and making a lot of noise, right? And the thing, I was sharing this a couple of weeks ago, it didn't make sense to me, but with the people that are standing, aligning themselves with Israel, you see some Hasidim, you know, the conservative Jew, they've got their robes on and so forth. You see them standing there, right? And other people. You go down a couple hundred feet and you see everybody protesting or standing for Palestine, and you see a whole group of Hasidim standing there. And I'm going, what is that? That doesn't even make any sense. I thought you were for Israel. You're Jewish. Well, I came to find out, I read an article in the local paper just a couple of days after, that a rabbi was suing one of the towns in Rockland County, down where we are, for flying the Israeli flag. I'm thinking, why would he do that? I thought you stood for Israel. And they said that this particular sect in the Hasidim, or the Jewish sect, they do not, it's called the Satmar group, S-A-T-M-A-R, they do not recognize Israel, they don't recognize the Star of David, that they find it repulsive. And I thought, really? So I know somebody who's Jewish, and I said, what is that? He said, most Hasidim are for Israel. But there are some fringe groups that don't. And afterwards I thought, well, isn't that strange? Isn't that just like Christians? You say, I'm a Christian. And you got some Christians that don't even stand for the Bible. Is that true? You got some that say, well, I believe in this, I believe in this. And you go, do you read your Bible? So you got the same thing. You've got people that are deceived in both camps. And so we just need to read the word and know what it says and be taught and grow and believe God. So anyways, God wants us to be prepared. We're seeing all of this stuff going on, and the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And I'm telling you, in 1980, when Pastor Sarah and Clinton were returning from Rhema after they graduated, Pastor Sarah always tells this story. She said, we were driving back with our U-Hauls. We were coming back from Oklahoma. We were driving from on Route 80. We were coming through the Delaware Water Gap, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and gave me that motto, where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is manifest. So that became, you know, the motto of the church. And we confessed that for years here, still do. But recently the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my heart and said, you need to make that personal. Because you all can say it when we're here, oh, you know, we believe this is a place where the love of God is evident, and you don't do it. So when you don't make it personal, you can confess all you want. You can say, I believe I'm healed, and then turn right around and say, I'm sick. So that means you really don't believe it. So what God is wanting us to do is to personalize and make that, it's not just, it's scriptural. The love of God, Romans 5, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it says, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So I am a place, me, you. You are a place where the love of God is evident. You are a place where the word of God is received. What does that mean? It says right in the scripture, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So I'm a place that receives where the Word of God dwells. And I'm a place where the Spirit of God directs. I'm directed by the Spirit of God. You need to make that a personal profession. And I'm a person and a place where the power of God operates through. And God is wanting us to grow in this area so that when we go out in our places of where we work, I'm bringing the love of God, I'm bringing the Word of God, I'm bringing the Spirit of God, and I'm bringing the power of God. That's what he's wanting, because I'm telling you, there's going to be a great awakening, and we need to be prepared and ready. Not trying to get ready, but ready. And I believe this is part of this assignment, is to get us to be ready. But when the Lord told me, and of course Pastor Greg, but this is pretty much the theme of these messages. Going fishing. We're going fishing. And so the Holy Spirit just kind of brought back some things for me. As a young boy, I did a lot of fishing. I did. And I have fished in every kind of climate, every kind of weather, every kind of, all the different seasons. I fished during the spring. I fished during the summer. I did ice fishing. I did all this kind of stuff in some ungodly weather out in the middle where it's below zero, ice fishing, drilling through ice. And you go, man, that's dumb. But that's what I did. And I enjoyed it at that time. I don't do it as much now, but I did fishing. And I backpacked into mountains where I wanted to just go and fish for brook trout that was native. And I did that. I hiked up in the Adirondacks, did things like that. I had fly fishing. I tied my own flies. I did all of these kind of things. And I did that because I had a passion to do it. I enjoyed it. I liked it. But when you do that, anytime you have a passion for something, you know, I always say this. I said, you know, if you like golf, every time you're in an area, you say, where's the nearest golf course? Where's the driving range? People do that. Or you may like to cook. And so what do? You read books. You learn, you ask questions, you look at cooking shows, you do whatever, right? That's what people do when they have a passion to do something. Well, I had a passion to fish. So when you go fishing, you don't just put something on your hook and throw it in, because you may get zip, and I had done that many times. Because you need to know, what are they biting on? What's the bait they're hitting on? What's in the streams? And that may be different for every area you go in. And so I'm sharing all of that because when you have a passion for something, you study it, you learn it, you read. I would go to bait shops like down in my area. What are they hitting on? What are the people catching? What are they catching, and what's the bait? You ask a lot of questions. So let me ask this. When you see people, what do you think? Because we're going fishing. When you see people, you go, oops, I got to get out of here. Or do you see, I've got something that they need. I've got the love of God. I've got the Word of God. What do they need? Lord, what is it that these people need that I'm interacting with? And so let me just share some scripture, because, you know, a lot of times, and even when you think about this, when you have a passion for something, you hang around people with the same passion. You see people that like golf, they hang around with people that like golf. People that like to cook, they hang around people that like to cook. and they network and they ask a lot of questions. People that like to sing hang around people that like to sing. When I was singing with the choir, we all hung out with singers. And we networked and we sang because we had a passion. So a lot of times what's happening in life is that God wants us to bring him to people. And when we're getting so caught up in the distractions of life, all of the stuff, the issues that go on in our life, we're so consumed with that sometimes that we're not even thinking about other people and what could they possibly be going through. But listen to these scriptures. They're familiar. You know them. This is Matthew. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18 through 20. And it may come up on the screen here so you can see it. But this is the New Living Translation, Matthew 4, starting in verse 18. It says, "One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living." That's what they made money doing. They were fishermen. "Jesus called to them, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.'" Huh. King James, it says, "I will make you fishers of men." But here in the New Living, he says, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Boy, I wish he showed me how to fish. That would have been great. But here, and what does it go on? In verse 20, it says, "And they left their nets at once and followed him." That just always arrests me. I said, the power of Jesus' words, when he said, "Come, follow me," it reminded me of Peter when he was going across the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was walking on the water and he said, "Lord, if that be you, bid me come." And he said, "Come." And he got out of the boat and started walking on the water. Same thing here. They were fishing. They didn't catch anything. He said, "Come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their livelihood. Oof. That's how they made money. You think about it. You hear somebody say to you, "Come," and you leave your job at once. And they followed him. That's a powerful thing. So God wants us to demonstrate the reality of God through us. He wants to demonstrate the love of God. He wants to demonstrate the Word of God. He wants to demonstrate His Spirit and His power through us. That's where we are. And that is the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. But I'm going to read this in the Matthew 24. This is the Passion Translation. Matthew 24 and verse 14. In the Passion Translation says, "Yet through it all, this joyous assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of this age will arise." So God is wanting to do what? He's wanting to show out. He's wanting a demonstration of the reality of God. And how is that going to come? Through us. And my heart of hearts, this is so strong. He's wanting us to take him to the job. Everything we're doing, everybody we interact with, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's on your job, whether it's whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, you're bringing him with you. And you're bringing the love of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, and the power of God. You're bringing that, and he wants to demonstrate himself through you. And so that's really the theme of this, is that we're going fishing. And the main thing is, when we get up in the morning, when we go about our day, just asking him, Lord, show me how to reach people today. Show me. Teach me how to reach people. And by his spirit, he'll begin to show you how to reach people, how to touch hearts with love, with the word, with his spirit, and with his power. He's going to show you how to do that. And that's the Great Commission. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, this is in the Passion Translation, because he's going to work through his body. And this expresses that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. It says, we are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. So we are, what does the scripture say? We are ambassadors of the Anointed One. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, and of course, anybody who knows, you know, you're an ambassador, you are a representative. You're authorized, you're a representative, or you could say you're a promoter. You're promoting, you're representing someone or some country. And so we are ambassadors for Christ, and then this says the Anointed One, ambassadors of the Anointed One. Who do what? Carry the message of Christ to the world. And what are we doing? We're carrying the message of Christ, the message of his love for them, and we're carrying that through the word. Sometimes people just need to hear, you know, people, the devil beats up people, and people beat up people so much that they don't even know whether people love them. And they certainly have ideas, well, God certainly can't love me. And so as a representative, you need to let them know, you know, God loves you. Well, yeah, you don't know what that's always usually the first step, but you don't know what I've done. He does. I don't need to know, but he loves you right where you are. And so often people are stuck there that they don't think they don't think God is merciful. They don't think he's just or kind, and he's already paid for their sins. He's already paid for them. And we are to do what? Let them know that Christ took their sins, they've been paid for, and all they need to do is accept him as their Savior, because he's already done it. It's already done. So, 1 John, let me read this from the New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. And then verse 23, 24. So verse 18, it says, This is the New Living. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." And then jumping to verse 23, it says, "And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded." So we can love with divine love. Because why? He's filled our hearts with his love. And so we need to do what he said. And let's read John 13, which is when he said back up here, and love one another just as he commanded us. John 13, 34, and 35 in the New Living Translation says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So he's looking for us to extend love. Didn't say you wanted to or you felt like it, but he said you do it. Just reach out and love people where they are. You know, people who just... They're making choices in life and living, and we're not here to judge or condemn people for how they're living. God is the final judge of how people live. And so he's the one that said, if they'll just accept me and believe that I've been raised from the dead and believe that in their heart and confess with their mouth, he said, I will forgive them. And he said, I'll cleanse them, and their sins I will remember no more. So we need to have that position and that place that we're in the reconciliation business. We're here to reconcile people to God, bring them to that place where they get right and get restored with God. And so God is stirring our hearts to go fishing and think about it. In other words, when we see people, am I thinking, how can I help them? Or just, my heart is open, God lead me. In other words, lead me across people today to help. Who can I help today? Who can I speak an encouraging word to? You know, it's interesting to me. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll go into, there's a health food store across the street from us, down by us in New York, and sometimes I'll go over there and get some supplements or whatever I'm looking for, because it's a grocery store and vitamins and all of that, and so I'll go over there, and so after a while they get to know you, and there's one person there, I think the two of them, they're from Nepal. And I don't really know what their belief is, but I just went in to get some supplements. This is not too long ago. And he looked at me, he says, "Hey, brother, how's it going?" I said, "Great." He said, I didn't even say anything to him. He just said, "What the heck is going on?" And I thought, I said, "Well, there's a lot of bad stuff going on." So I just, because I needed to get something, so I got it. And then I'm walking out, and I just had a prompt. You know him, but you don't know him. So I said, "I'll tell you what's going on, since you asked." I said, "The further people move away from God, the darker it gets." I just kept it simple. I said, "The further people move away from God and they don't have any kind of moral compass," I said, "the darker this country gets." And he goes, "Well, that's sure true." So you can just plant a seed, and I just kept going. And you can just say things when people ask questions. Don't get your Bible out and wag it and do all of this kind of stuff. Just share from your heart. Be you. When people ask questions, tell them how he helped you. You're a walking advertisement. Tell people how God blessed you, or how he brought you out of a life of how you used to live. And you just help people right there, because that's really where people are. They just want to know that, gee, God really does. Man, if he helped you, wow, maybe he could help me. So this is really where we're at. We want to reach people where they are. Whether they come here to this church, that's not the issue. The issue is reaching people. Because Jesus is about to return soon. And then if he returns, it's going to be too late for some people. So we want to just be ready. And let me read this here. This is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10 and 11 and 12. This is in the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." So we're to become like Him. "In this new life," verse 11, "it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Verse 13, "Make allowance." Boy, sometimes this is hard stuff for people. "Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you." "Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." Verse 14, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." And verse 15, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." So we need to forgive one another when we've been offended. And what also did it say? It says, "Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you." Say, "You know what? I forgive them." And that's what the Lord is, by his Spirit, is saying here. This is in the New Living Translation, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." Love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm going to just read this real quick here. This is Ephesians chapter 3 from the New Living Translation, Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19. Just looking at the Word of God here. It says, "When I think of all this," this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, "I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him." Now this is good here. "Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." So that's why when the scripture says faith worketh by love, when it talks about your roots growing down, it's talking about faith roots. And faith roots are growing down into the soil. Some translations say the soil of God's love. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have love in our hearts, and the seed of God's word is planted and develops roots, but it draws down into or grows down into the soil of the love of God. And what does it say? Keeps us strong. Keeps us strong. So when we interact with people, it's imperative that we operate in the love of God, and he will empower us to do that. He will empower you with divine power to walk in love with people. You know, this happened to me once. It was a supernatural experience. I guess, you know, some things God does once, and that's it. But I was in a setting with a group. This was 40-some years ago. As a young Christian, I was with a group of people that, you know, we hung out together. And I was a young Christian. And there was one person in that group that I did not like. Hard to say, but I didn't like. Because they, and again, the reasons why. Because I had just come out of, at that time, I was very young, I had just come out of a divorce. I was hurting. And I came into the church like a hospital to be healed in my heart. And so you're coming into the church, and at church, people like to mingle, young people like to get together, and what do? They start saying, oh, there's this young guy over there, and they start chasing you. I could have cared less. I was not interested in a female at that point. I needed healing in my heart. And this young lady kept dogging me, you know what I mean, like that? Dogging you just everywhere you are. Everywhere you are, she's right up under your heels. And I'm like, get out of my face. And the reason I say that is because when I went to this church, I didn't know anybody. When I went to this assembly of God, I didn't know anybody. And when I walked through the back door, the Holy Ghost spoke to me right down here. I heard his voice. He said, stay away from that girl. So what happened was, everywhere I went, I would make sure I moved not near this young lady, and I would just move with other people. And then she'd start moving and following, and I said, bingo, Holy Ghost, he warned me. And so, when I say I didn't like this person, I was warned to stay away from this person. I guess maybe that's a better way of putting it. Wasn't that I didn't like him, I was warned to stay away. And so I happened to be in a setting where the Holy Ghost fell. And I mean, it fell, and it was like a coat fell on me. And my whole thinking, my soul was filled with the love of God. I can hardly explain it. It was a supernatural thing that happened. And I ended up getting up, and I prayed for this person that I was trying to stay away from. It literally consumed me. It was like God supernaturally, it was such a powerful manifestation. When I looked at this person, I didn't even have those thoughts. It was like erased. And it was like God consuming my thinking, my heart, everything. Yeah, when it lifted, those thoughts came. So that empowerment, you know, is a supernatural thing. We don't walk with that every day. That may happen once in your life, if ever. And I wasn't looking for it. It just happened. So he will empower us with his Spirit to walk in the love of God with people. And when for us, when it says put on something, that means we're going to have to make a choice. We're going to have to make choices to obey the word of God and do some things that maybe are not comfortable to the flesh. And that's what it's going to take. Now, I want to just read this. And so this is 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to read this in the Amplified Classic, verses 4 through 8. And it's a good set of scriptures to read. Read it every day. So this is the Amplified Classic, starting in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth. So let's, as we close, let's make that statement and you personalize it. Say, I am a place where the love of God is evident. I am a place where the word of God resides. I am a place that is directed by his Spirit. And I am a place where the power of God manifests through. And make a choice to say that every day, whether you feel like it or not. And I'll guarantee you, if you do that for the next few months, you're going to see a change. You will find yourself, you know, sometimes you won't recognize the change until there's a squeeze put on you. Because Pastor Sarah always used this example. She said, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. That's because that's what's inside of it. So when you get squeezed, what's in you is what comes out of you. Not tacos. But it should be the word of God. So when we get squeezed, that's what we're going to find out that comes out of us. That's what's in you. That's what you've been putting in. That's what you've been meditating on. That's what you've been thinking about. That's what you've been talking about. And the more you do, that's what's inside. So if there's fear about something and you're talking about it, then when there's a squeeze, you're going to talk fear. If you feel like you've been offended and you feel like, you know, you've been done dirty, so to speak, and you meditate and you don't let it go, when you get squeezed, that's what's going to bubble up and come out. And you want to correct that because you don't want to let that grow. You don't want to water it. You want to say, hey, okay, it happened. I forgive that person. I forgive them. And walk in forgiveness. And it's the same thing here. Make those professions every day. And I'm telling you, the next time there's a squeeze on you to respond in a certain way, something's going to come out and you're going to go, huh, wow. Something's different about me. Yeah, you've been making some professions, you've been acting on the word of God, and you didn't respond the same way. So that's what God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to grow in these areas, grow in the love of God, grow in the word of God, grow being directed by His Spirit, grow in the area of the power of God being manifested in us and through us. A lot of times people are going, well, you know, we're quick to pray with people sometimes, but are you expecting the power of God to manifest in somebody's life? Right then and there, and say, look, I'm carrying Him with me. So when somebody says, I'm hurting, you say, well, I can pray for that. He'll heal you right now. Be bold. Be definite. Be certain. God's with me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. People are hurting. They may say, you know what? My back's bothering. Oh, I'll pray with you if you want. God'll touch you right now. And they'll go, really? See, that's not being wishy-washy, mousy. That's being confident in Him. That's being confident in the God we serve and in His love and His power working in us. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, I was sharing down by us, you know, 35% of the county that we live in is Jewish. It's Hasidim. And a lot of them are buying up property. They're moving up from Brooklyn and Manhattan. They're just running out of space. And so they're just buying up everything by us. And other areas, you know, it's not just Rockland County, it's Orange County, all that. They're just buying up a lot of property. And they're moving. And they got the same problems that the world has because they don't have Christ. And it's a closed community. And I know because I've talked with people that know them. They've got prostitution going on. They got drugs. They got, you know, drinking. They've got sex. They got all of the stuff and the ills and the problems that the world is dealing with and stuck in. They've got it stuck in their community. It's going on. And the young kids, they're not embracing the things that their parents had. And they're stuck, and I'm sure they're trying to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it. Man, can you imagine? And see, because it's a closed community, I've been asking, Lord, how do we reach them? Show us how to fish for them. Because usually when we've run into them, I've run into some when I go to the health food store. Very pleasant, very nice Rebbies, you know, and all. And they'll turn around, you talk with them. And, you know, usually if you say church, they go immediately. If you say church, they go, oh, we don't go to church. We go to synagogue. So they know you're not Jewish if you say church. What language, what bait do I need to reach them? The Holy Ghost knows them. That's when you go fishing. You just don't, I mean, how many times I went fishing and caught nothing because I wasn't using the right bait. I didn't know the bait to use. But man, when the right bait is on, boom! You're pulling them in. So it's what bait, show me how to reach people. Show me how to fish for people. That's what we need to know. So when we go out and he may just lead you. Read up, find out about them. Read some books on them. You know, if you had a lot of Muslim living in your area, you go, well, I don't know anything about Muslim. Then read up on them. Read up. What do they believe? And the Holy Ghost will take what you know and help you reach people of another faith. And it's the same thing. Ask him how to reach people, how to fish for people. This is what he's wanting to do. We have the love of God. We have the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God and the power of God in us. Man, I mean, we should be an explosion everywhere we go. But it's learning, you know? You have to learn. You have to be trained how to reach people. And that's what he told his disciples. I'll show you how to fish for people. And that's what he's wanting us to do. Amen. Hope that helps a little bit. It's on my thinking, in my heart, because the Holy Ghost is making that he's highlighting it. It's a priority. Yeah. Father, we thank you this day for touching our hearts, for showing us how to fish for people, how to reach people with the gospel. And we thank you for it. We believe to receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, before we dismiss, I always just, we always share if you don't know Christ and you've never made a personal profession of Christ, then, you know, it's not about what you've done, good works. You know, it's interesting, on our Friday Bible study, you know, we're doing the same thing in Nanuet as here, getting a grip on the basics. But, you know, when you interact with people, if you ask them, well, you know, if you left your body today, if you were to die, where would you go? And some people will say, well, I believe I'll go to heaven. And you can say, okay, that's great. How are you sure? How do you know? And you get a whole variety of answers. People say, well, I lived a good life. I'm a good person. That's usually what people will tell you. Well, I'm a good person. And they say, well, that's good, but that's not going to get you into heaven. Being a good person and doing good things is not going to secure eternal life for you. And so we know from the scriptures that those that accept Christ or believe him to be the Savior, to be the Redeemer, and believe that God raised him from the dead, and you believe and confess that, it says you shall be saved. You shall receive eternal life. Nothing apart from the blood of Jesus can secure our salvation. It's in the scriptures clear all through the epistles. In him we have redemption through his blood. So your good works are not going to secure your salvation. It's the blood of Jesus. And it's his shed blood that was shed for my sins. So if I don't believe that he did that, I'm surely not getting into heaven. Because he took my sins. He was on that cross for me, not for him. So we always make sure, look, if you've not done that, make sure, because he's returning soon. And we certainly don't want to see anybody miss heaven and go to hell. And so if you're here today and you've never done that, or you got away from God, just get right with God. That's the thing. Just know that you're right. And that if you left this earth, you're in good standing with him. Amen. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I believe he came here to redeem mankind. And I accept him now as my Savior. And I believe that you raised him, Jesus from the dead. So I accept him as my Savior, and I believe that I am saved. Amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer, that means you are redeemed, you're saved, and you have eternal life. And if you did that today, just let me know, and we'll give you some free information. Amen. Praise God.